You are listening to a sermon by Bridget Findlay, recorded on Sunday, March 27th, 2022, at Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Thank you. I really appreciate being invited to Point Grey Intermennonite Fellowship this morning to speak with you. I also want to share greetings and gratitude from the MCC British Columbia office. Mennonite Central Committee is a worldwide ministry of Anabaptist churches sharing God's love and compassion for all in the name of Christ. We are really grateful for your church's support and your prayers, which are so core to the work we do. We give God the glory for the ways he's used MCC over the last century to save lives, give hope, and work for better communities throughout the world. Now about me, I was born in the United States in Chicago, Illinois. My parents were both born in Alabama, and my ancestry is mostly European, but also part Native American. I've lived in BC a long time and love living in the Fraser Valley. I've lived in a few different neighborhoods in Abbotsford, but it's been 6 years since we moved into our current neighborhood. Thinking on this, I wonder if we were one of those families that the neighbors worried about, you know, loud, rambunctious. My children were young adults, and then there's a little girl whose grandmother, myself, doesn't stop her from riding her tricycle way past others' bedtimes. We are people who wave and say hi to our privacy-loving neighbors. And I wonder if they thought, here come the Findlays and there goes the neighborhood. We got a range of receptions from our neighbors, but over time, we got to know the people. We learned their names and about their families. We learned about births and deaths, heartaches and hopes. We grew into our place in the neighborhood. We became neighbors. On September 30th, it was designated the first National Day for Truth and Reconciliation, known to many in BC as Orange Shirt Day. This newly created federal holiday is intended to recognize and commemorate the legacy of residential schools, honor survivors, their families, and communities, and ensure that public commemoration of the history and heritage of residential schools remains a vital component of the reconciliation process. The last few years, we've heard a lot of turmoil, fear, and hostility in the news, followed by charges of racism. Even one death is horrendous, but 215 deaths is unbelievable and horrific. And the toll has continued to mount as the news of over 1,900 remains have been discovered at Canada's residential school locations. The acts that exclude might be invisible to us, but racial bias is a reality that infects life right here in British Columbia, in Vancouver, and in Abbotsford. What's a Christian to do? I wish I knew a simple answer to addressing all the complexities of intercultural challenges and racism that is in our local and national lives. But I know where we can start with the simple but profound applicable words of Jesus. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 22:39. This is my text for the morning. Love your neighbor as yourself. It's the Old Testament law that is quoted more than any other in the New Testament, that Jesus himself quotes more than any other. We hear it in the Gospels, in Romans, in Galatians, and in James. My area of work within MCC is called Indigenous Neighbors. This verse speaks of the importance of our loving our neighbor, and it confronts us with the difficulty we have in living out this command deeply and authentically. But I want to break it down this morning into three steps. First step, you shall love. Now, it seems a bit weird that God would command love. Doesn't that kind of rule out authenticity? But if we take a closer look, The first thing we can say is that technically and grammatically, it really isn't a command. It's a future tense verb, which is nice because it's more of a prediction or even a promise. This is something that's going to happen. You will love. But the truth is, in biblical Hebrew and Greek, a future tense verb kind of works more or less like a command. Just like in parenting English, when you say, young man, you will march upstairs and you will wash up and you will clean up that mess. That's more than a prediction, it's an order. So we're kind of stuck with the fact that God is commanding us to love. That makes more sense once we realize that biblical love is more than a feeling. It's more than the emotions that the world often emphasizes. The love that God commands, agape love, is the beautiful, holistic confluence of all that makes us human. There's an element of choice, our will, when we commit to the other person's well-being. The kind of neighborly love starts with listening. It's hard to show love if we don't listen. Parents often learn this the hard way as their young children morph into teenagers. All of a sudden, listening can become a lot more challenging. A similar dynamic holds, I believe, in trying to listen across the cultural and community divides that fragments our cities and province. There's nothing that lays a groundwork for neighborliness more than listening. I've had the privilege of being in Stolo communities in the Fraser Valley, of being in many circles where elders and others have shared about their lives, their hopes for their grandchildren, and their dreams for the community. At the same time as I've listened, I hear several themes repeated time and time again. Some painful themes that are woven deeply into the fabric of that community. These are things that we must also listen to. We cannot love if we don't listen to these stories and the hurts that they hold. Stories about Indian residential schools. If you've ever wondered or had any doubts about the residential school experience, I would invite you to ponder one question. Would you feel comfortable sending your kids to a school that had a cemetery? There were also many restrictions and indignities from the Indian Act. The past system controlled Indigenous people's travel and commerce. And the 60 scoop was a mass removal of children from their families into the child welfare system. Listening is an act of love. Deep listening, honest listening, brings validation and healing to the victims and survivors. I've heard it said more than once from Indigenous people. We tell our stories until we are healed. There is no better way to become a better neighbor than to practice listening and find out what is important to them. Step two of that verse, you shall love your neighbor. On another occasion in Luke 10, Jesus was asked by a Jewish man of power and privilege, what do I need to do to make it in God's eyes? And he knew the answer right away. And Jesus agreed, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. But this man wanted to justify himself, says Luke. He presses Jesus on a clear legal definition. And who is my neighbor? This was a live question in Jesus's time. Neighbor was more or less a legal term. Even since the giving of the law with Moses, neighbor meant a fellow citizen, part of the covenant community of Israel. It's important to see the basic message here that Jesus is blowing open the debate and redefining neighbor to anyone in need, even if it's your worst enemy. But there's another dimension I want us to take away from it. That is the underlying biblical framework. Neighbor was defined by covenant, and covenant is what made a person your neighbor. Now, that's really relevant for us because covenant is simply another word for treaty. And that's one of the things you will hear when you start listening to Indigenous people. Treaty matters because treaty is what permits most people to live where they live. It allows the nation of Canada and most provinces, with the exception of BC, to have jurisdiction over our lives. The basic facts is that when Canada was being formed, the Canadian government was obligated by royal decree to make treaty with those who were already here, nation to nation. The First Nations wanted this, and between 1701 to 1923, most of them signed treaties. For them, it was a covenant of relationship with the Crown. But problems arose almost immediately for many different reasons. But part of it was the First Nations saw treaty as something like a wedding that marks a new and bonding relationship. The two parties are now related in the presence of the Creator. But the government side saw it more like a certificate of divorce. This is how we can get what we want and need without maintaining any relationship. So if one side sees it like a marriage and the other treats it like a divorce, well, that's a recipe for disaster. Well-known Cree author and lawyer Harold Johnson has expressed it slightly differently. He tells us that the spirit and intent of the treaty makes us cousins. Treaty was a form of adoption ceremony. We've been given the rights and responsibilities of family, but we never embraced it. This rejection is a huge taproot of pain and discontent that fed many other abuses at the hands of the Canadian leadership of that time. It comes down to this. Just as neighbor was a covenant term in Jesus's day, so neighbor is a very real covenant or treaty term today. If we want to love our Indigenous neighbors, we will learn to acknowledge treaty or the desire for intent of a treaty, or even acknowledge the lack of one. How do we pay respect to our Indigenous people who welcomed us here as neighbors? The third part of this verse is love your neighbor as yourself. And this last part might, again, seem a bit weird to some of us. We could have a long conversation about what's healthy, godly self-love. But what I want to pull out of this is our need to be aware appropriately of how to love ourselves. And I would suggest it's more about self-awareness and self-knowledge, and then applying that awareness to others. In a nutshell, it's about godly empathy. What makes you who you are? What do you love automatically, deeply, and dearly? Probably your family, the place you grew up, religious freedoms, even certain Mennonite cultural activities. What else makes you who you are? What life experiences, what griefs and losses? Those things that beat us down, those deeper inner bruises. Now, I've been in Abbotsford for almost 33 years. I've surpassed the 25 years I spent growing up in the United States. I love Abbotsford and British Columbia, but nothing can quite replace for me the depth of total rootedness that I feel and experience when I return to the United States. A mere 25 years produced that deep connection in me. Think about how long First Nations have been calling the land that makes up BC their home. Are we ready to understand that those deep connections, those profoundly deep losses, are at the root of so much of the painful and hostile headlines that we often hear? To love our neighbors as ourselves is to confess a common humanity, to acknowledge that our neighbors love the same things we do, to see the best, to assume the best, and to realize that if we meet someone who might seem broken, they have been damaged by things that would probably break us too. I'm going to wrap this up. Paul, in writing to the Roman Christians, concludes in his section on civic duties with these simple words: Don't let no debt remain outstanding except the ongoing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. All the commands are summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. We shouldn't need a national day of anything to remind us to love others. We love because he first loved us, period. There is no greater joy for the Christian than to learn to love like Christ loved. This is what brings us closer to him, what helps us discover more of God's great plan for the renewal of the world. But sometimes we do need reminders when we have blind spots or places marked by reluctance to listen, and hopefully by repentance. I'm so thankful for how our family's life has turned out in Abbotsford. Hearing the sounds of kids playing on the street, watching my granddaughter play together with my neighbor's grandkids. Those blessings are a vision of what life in BC, in Canada, can move towards with God's help. Watching our grandkids playing together without bias, without fear, without animosity. What can we do but to learn to love? Love by listening, learning, and respecting. We can do it when we learn to love our neighbors as neighbors in the full biblical sense, remembering that we are all relations brought together in the sight of God. We can do it when we are moved by the Spirit of Christ, in whom God the Father is always at work, reconciling the world to himself and giving us, his church, this ministry of reconciliation. So I end with three questions. How ready are you to listen with the heart of Jesus? Are we willing to explore the meaning of covenant relationships? And what can you do to walk with empathy towards your Indigenous neighbors? Thank you.